We're going to learn a verse real quick. Psalms 119:97. Say it together. Psalms 119:97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Psalms 119:97. Beautiful. Psalms 119:97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Psalms 119:97. You're starting to get it. Psalms 119:97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Psalms 119:97. Psalms 119:97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Think we can do it without the light? Now, we're going to review that a little later. Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Beautiful. Whew. Oh, I like that. I would say if you go over that 1,000 times today, you'll probably have it for the week. And that's worth it. Oh, yeah. Oh, it is good, good, good. Oh, it is good, good. The sharing today is to be on the Word. You turn to 2 Peter 1:21. People talk about whether the Word isn't the Word, whether it is the Word, is the Word, isn't the Word. I don't know why they talk about it so much. Just look and see what it says. For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Word came from God through men. Any question on that? If you have a question, you can argue with God. Because that's what he says. As I thought about this, I'm talking on the Word of God, and God says that every man is going to give an account for every word that he speaks. And so I am going to give an account in heaven for the message that I give this morning. You're going to give an account for what you hear. I'm going to give an account for what I say. Isn't that something? And I'm ready. I hope you are. Isn't that good? Oh, wonderful. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. In our family, we have a little deal where on birthdays, our daughters can ask for a certain type of cake that they like. And my wife makes the type of cake they like. They can dream up anything, and my wife builds the cake for their birthday. And just the day before we came, Saturday, this last Saturday, we had a daughter, we ran out of teens. She turned 20. And so she chose her cake, and she said, I'd like a cake of Bible verse packs. Now, can you imagine that? That isn't even real, is it? Bible verse packs. So that was good. And in the center of the Bible verse packs, we have the wheel. With Christ the center, the Word, prayer, fellowship, and witness. So there's a cake made that with a wheel, and that's what she wanted. And then verses, and she picked out verses around that. And then one of the verses she had was that from a child. Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. That's good, isn't it? That's potent. And she chose that and some others. And I sat there around that table looking at that. Boy, we need to review a verse. Hold it. Psalms what?
119:97.
Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day.
Psalms 119, 97, isn't that good?
Oh, you're going to get your money's worth just out of that verse today.
Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, great. Now, the Bible says that this is God's Word. That is a truth. So you don't need to argue about it and wonder about it. Just accept that and then move from there. Now, in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul shared the Word with people, and he said, I am so glad that when you received the Word which you received from me, you received it as it is in truth. The Word of God, which effectively also works in you that believe. See? He says, I'm glad you received this Word as it is from God. Now, when you share that, is that what you do? Is you share the Word in your own life? You believe it's from God? That's what it is. That really helps, doesn't it? Oh, that's good. You know what? God said it. Then I believe He's going to keep it. Now, can you picture yourself in heaven standing before the Holy God at the Day of Judgment and God apologizing for you for some word that He said? Picture that? Nope. Every promise that He's made, He will keep. Fact is, in Jeremiah, He says He watches over His word to keep it. He watches over it. In Psalms 138:2, He said He honors His word more than His own name. We study the names of God, and we learn those, and God says, I honor my word more than my own name. Can you imagine that? Isn't that wonderful? The Word of God. Now, what we want to do is spend just a few minutes on the intake of the Word of God. Now, we've just spent a couple minutes on whose Word it is. It's God's Word. How many here believe it's God's Word? Hands high. How many are living like you believe it's God's Word? Now, we want to bring those two together a little bit this morning if we can and give you great encouragement. So you'll be so excited about living as this is God's Word that you can't hardly wait to do it. It's very simple. What we have to share is so simple, it may pass you by. Okay, this here, for a start, is what we call the hand. How many have heard of the hand? Oh, wonderful. Now, we're going to go through this quite fast, and those of you that haven't had it before need to get it 3 or 4 times. And so you ask where you're eating at the meal to someone at the table. If you haven't had the hand before, say, would you share the hand with me? There are a lot of hands went up, and I know that you, some here at the table, must have been one of them that put it up. Would you please go through the hand while we eat, and you can eat later? And you get the hand, you see. So we're going to go through this just a little bit. The hand. The hand is how you get a grip on the Word of God. If you have just a little grip, it's like that. 2, it's like that. 3, it's like that. 4, it's like that. 5, it's like that. And then I grab the hold of the binding, and I say, try to take it out. And they can't because they don't have the binding, you see. But you have a grip of the Word of God if you get all these going. This is here, Romans 10:17. Here. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. People want to be men of faith, men of God. Hear the Word. Do it. Hear. Mark 4:9, Jesus said, he that hath ears, let him hear. In Psalm 78:1, the Lord is speaking. He says, give ear, O my people. The Lord gave us 2 ears. He says, give ear, O my people. The Lord wants us to hear what He has to say. That's on this one here. In Revelation 1:3, we have read. This is here, and this finger is read. We want to read the Word of God. On hearing, by the way, get to a place where you're hearing the Word of God preached. Somewhere, week by week, you hear the Word of God preached. And if you're out in a desert island someplace, at least get some tapes so you can play them of somebody expounding the Word of God. It's good food. And God says, let's hear it. And hear with an idea to obey. And read. Read, read, read. Read, read, read. Oh, boy. I'm sure you must at least have the conviction already you should spend more time here than you do in the newspaper, right? Yeah, okay. It's gaining. And then more time here than you spend reading something else.
Anybody that's written a good book has gotten it from here. Haven't they? Can you imagine that? Save the time. Oh, man. Read. Acts 17:11. Study, study, study to show yourself approved unto God. That's 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself. Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and then searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Do you listen to what someone says, some pastor, some preacher, someone like myself, and you hear that, and then you search the scriptures daily to say, is that true? Is that what that says? Well, if you were going to live by it and your life depended upon it, you probably would. You do in your business. Somebody comes along and says, hey, why don't you do this with your business? You say, oh, I better check that out first. Before you put the whole lot on what he says, right? It's the same thing here. The Lord says, just check it out. And these people, the Bereans, were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and they did that. Hear, read, study, memorize. Psalms 119, 9-11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee, and let me not wander with thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I memorize the word and I put it in my heart so that I won't sin against God. Now, I don't know when you became a Christian if you had an insatiable hunger for the word of God or not, but if you didn't, it probably wasn't too healthy a birth. Because babies do. Babies just, right? They just cry out, give me some milk or you don't sleep. And the hour makes no, never mind. Now, it was very fortunate, answer to prayer of other things, when I became a Christian, that's kind of the way I was spiritually. I trust I'm the same today. Just hungering for the book. I ran into some people, I had a little pamphlet like that. It's B rations, we called it. That's the beginning with Christ. Now they're a little bigger. They call them like that, and in between we did like that. And we reprint them. You see? But here's the way they were then. You see, and then their little booklet is in there, and that printing is quite small, isn't it? And that's why it says in here, it's impossible in this short space allotted in this small booklet to write about all the wonderful transactions that took place when you accepted Christ as your Savior. See, in this wonderful little portion. Now, the thing written in here is almost exactly the same as it is today. But boy, when I got a hold of that, to memorize the word, the fellow wasn't going to give it to me. They were in a group studying him. And they had these verses, and I snuck into that group because I watched them, and I saw that they were studying the Word of God. And I saw this group, and I got in there and sat in there in that group, and they got these verses out, and they handed them back and forth, went over those verses, see if they had them word perfect. When they finished, I said, I want some of those. And he said, no, no, we don't give these out. And I said, well, I'll have some. And he said, no. And I looked at that little blue pack, and I wanted some of those. And he said, no. And I said, look, I want some. And I've been watching these people, and I watched them because I didn't want to get stuck with something that wasn't good. So I watched these people for about 3 months to see if their lives stacked up to what the Bible, I thought, said. And it did. And so he said, well, look, we want you to think about this a while. And I said, I've been thinking about it. And he said, well, we don't want you to fail. I said, I don't plan to fail. And so he said, look, we like people just to wait a while. I said, I want them now. I want to get on with it. And he said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. He says, I'll give these to you. If you take these and memorize these all this week, have them word perfect. And if you don't have them word perfect, by next week when we get together, he says, I want them back. Oh, well. You feel like you're being handled a little tender, right? That's what it was. But it was good. But I had a hunger for that. And on that same ship as I was with those fellows, I got a hunger for the Word. We had those little Gideon. How many have seen a little Gideon New Testament? Oh, yeah. One of the fellows told me when I first accepted Christ, he gave me a Gospel of John. And then it said, he says, do what it says on the first page. First page said, read 50 times. That was number one. Number two was, underline verses that you like. You know, and I read that through, I'd check it, and I'd read it through again and check it, and I read it through over 25 times. I liked it so well that I put it in plastic. So this is the book of John in plastic. How about that for a hunger for a Christian?
Then I was on that ship. I could just take, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him, and not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and life was the light of men. Light shines in the darkness, the darkness comprehended it not. You know, that's the beginning of John. See? So that was just a baby's hunger for the book. Now, okay? Oh, that's good. Psalms 119, 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Psalms 119:97. The word is good. That's memorizing the word. Get it in our hearts. Lay it up there. Oh, boy. One of my daughters, I think it was on her 14th birthday, gave me 25 passages out of Psalms. Either chapters or 10, 12 verses, something like that. Just for Dad. Isn't that good? Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Lay it on your heart, and you've got something to meditate upon. Isn't that good? Meditate is next. Psalms 1, 2, and 3. Meditate, meditate, meditate. How many of you have a Bible? Turn to Proverbs 17, or 22, Proverbs 22. This verse is so good, I hate to share it. Some of these are so good that it's just... Really, some of these you ought to have to go find for yourself. You see? But we share them because it's just the time, see? Proverbs 22, verse 17. It says, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise and apply thy heart to my understanding. What that means is listen and then do it. That's what that says. The Lord says, listen to what I have to say and then do it. Verse 18 says, it's a pleasant thing if you keep them within you, they shall be withal fitted in your lips. That says it's a pleasant thing if you memorize it. After you've heard it and done it, the Lord says, would you please memorize it? Because I'm going to use it in your lips. Dawson Trotman used the idea of God having a man who would memorize the Word of God, put the quivers of God's Word in his heart, and God would put those words to the bow of his lips and pierce a heart for him. That's the way Doss said that. It's the same thing. Verse 19, that thy trust may be in the Lord, I have made known to thee this day, even to thee, how excellent, or have I written to thee, excellent things in counsels and knowledge. Now, we like to be able to trust God for what we do. We want to trust God. Now, the Lord says here, the reason I've written these things is so that your trust can be in me. And he says, so you can trust me without any reservation. Look at 21. That I might make thee know the certainty of words of truth, that you might answer the words of truth to them that send to you. This fellow comes knocking on my door. He has questions. Now, God says, Harv, you have the answers in the book. And you can know for certain now that you can meet his needs with this. There could be no question in your mind, but what you have the answers to his need, and you can be assured of that. So as he sits here and I sit here, then he asks a question, I can answer his question for sure. That's what that says. And so I don't have to sit there and wonder, oh, I wonder if I'm going to be able to answer this question. You see? I can say, listen, open the word to where the answer is, and say, have you read that? And he listens, and God talks to him. And he reads what God says. And he says, oh, I was witnessing in the Melbourne University campus, and as I was witnessing to the fellow, he asked a question, I opened the Bible, I pointed to a verse, he asked a question, I opened the Bible, pointed to a verse, and he grabbed that out, and he said, who wrote that? He didn't know. You see? He wanted to know who knew his life like that, and was getting answers that pinpointed right to the center of his being. Isn't that good? Now, this is what this says. God says, you listen to what I have to say, you do it, and then you memorize it and be ready because it's going to be applied. Isn't that good? Okay, that's on the memorizing. On application here of meditation, Psalms 1, 2, and 3. The Lord says again, to meditate day and night, to meditate, to think upon day and night, to meditate day and night. How can you possibly meditate day and night? Sometimes you're going to be working, you're going to be sleeping. My wife used to not know any better, and she used to try to stay up at night until I got home.
I'll be meeting with this person, that person, that person. I come home 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and there she'd be trying to stay awake till I got home. She thought it was the duty of a wife to be home till her husband, I better wake till her husband got to bed. She learned better. But while she was trying, she really tried. And I'd come home at night, and she would be lying there, and she'd have her verse pack here, and she'd be asleep. And I'd see her there, and it's kind of a pretty picture, really. And she was there, and I knew she'd been going over her verses as she went to sleep, so I'd pick up her verse pack, and I'd see where she was, and she'd kind of look at me, and she'd be into oozy-oozy land. And I'd ask, I'd say, what verse are you on, honey? And she'd tell me what verse she was on, and she'd be down the pack, 10, 15 verses. Because in her subconscious, as she went to sleep, she just kept going over these verses, you know, and just kept going. Meditating on what? Isn't that terrific? Oh, so husbands, that's a good way to stay out at night, you know. No, not really. But it's the meditation of the Word in our life and in our mind going over and over and over and over. And our subconscious just picks it up and it gets in there. It's in the well of our heart. You see? Day and night. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Now I'm just going to share a couple of verses and then we're going to do something a little different. If you turn to the book of Jeremiah, about chapter 23, Isaiah, Jeremiah. This is another one of those that's so good. Jeremiah 23. Verse 22, we won't go through all the background of it right here. You can, in your time of searching the scriptures, whether these things are so. Jeremiah 23:22. But if they had stood in my counsel and caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned them from the evil of their way and from the evil of their doings. God said, if these people would have just stood in my counsel and caused these people to hear my words, then they would have turned them from the evil of their way and the evil of their doings. Now that's pretty simple. God is saying, if you would just have the people hear what I have to say, you will turn them from the evil of the way and the evil of their doings. God said, would you tell them what I say? Tell the people what I say, please, and you'll turn them from their evil. Now, do you think you can understand that? That is simple. What I need to do is tell people what God says. Now, if I tell people what God says, God promises to turn people from the evil of their way and the evil they're doing. That's what he says. Verse 28, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. But he that has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is a chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, or a hammer, and like a fire and like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces? God says, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. The person that's on his soapbox preaching some fouled up deal, the Lord says, leave him to his soapbox. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. Fine. Let him tell his dream. Okay? But he that has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. Now, if you have it, that means you've memorized it or you've got it in your heart and mind somehow that you know it so you can speak it faithfully. Then, as what's mentioned in verse 22 will come to pass, people will be turned from the evil of their way. And that's the power of the word. Hebrews 4:12. George mentioned this last night. Fantastic word last night. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of asunder of soul and spirit and the joints of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. As you sit here, I don't know what your intents are. I don't need to know what your intents are. But as I share the word this morning, God will speak to you about your intents. God's word will discern what you're thinking. I don't need to. Isn't that good? Oh, I like that. Someone asks you a question you don't know the answer to, at least give them John 3:16. You know? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's probably the answer he's looking for, just didn't know how to ask it. You know? He could have asked, if God is God, how can he make a rock bigger than he can lift? or can't do that, or something like that. See, some of those, you won't say, hey, I got this to answer that. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. That's you. See? And just go in the power of that. If you really believe in the Word of God and the power of it. Man, if you stop and think how you came to Christ, it wasn't all that intellectual, probably. We aren't all that cluey, are we? The power of the Word of God. Isn't that great? One fellow in Australia, I studied every week with him. For 9 months, we would meet together and go over 3 or 4 hours once a week, sometimes five, over a study he had spent already 5 hours studying on, or 3 or 4. And you know when he came to Christ after 9 months? It's okay, isn't it? But you know what we did? Every week we shared with him the gospel of Jesus Christ in a different way. So it wouldn't be humdrum. But then we went over study with him, and he's living for the Lord today. And he'll make a mark for God because he knows that there's a God in heaven that rules in the earth. And it was the Word of God that was quick and powerful and pierced into his heart. Isn't that great? Okay. Now, I want you to write down on that piece of paper you have in front of you the verse that you claimed when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Would you do that? Write down the promise that you claimed from God when you accepted Christ as your Savior. Just write it down. If you don't have it written down yet, you're in trouble. You know, I met a person the other day. I shook their hand. I said, my name's Harvey Soderholm. I guess you know yours. And they seemed to agree what they did. They knew their name. Well, if you don't know a verse or the verse that you are basing your eternal life upon, that you're claiming that you are a Christian, on what basis do you walk in any confidence at all? And I would like, as you sit around this, I may not speak tomorrow, but I would like to have you, as you're sitting around the tables, to ask each other, what verse do you have? What verse do you know that you're a Christian by? And if you don't have one, then get one. And if you haven't prayed over one, then pray over one. And thank God for His promise. My, my, my. Ooh. Okay, well, I trust you, some of you have written down something. Okay. Now, we've got you a little chart down there. Don't write on that chart yet. This is my condition, God's promise, my response, result. If my condition before I was a Christian, I'm guilty. I'm guilty before God. I'm standing a guilty person before God. I'm guilty. Now, God says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. That's a promise, isn't it? You all should have that one memorized. Okay. Now, that is a promise of God. That God loved the world and He gave His Son, that whoever believed in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, if I'm going to say, well, I'm going to believe in Him, that's wonderful. The promise is, the result is, forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. That is the result. The result. When I lived in Germany with my daughters, I wanted to encourage them and I wanted them to know how to handle themselves when some fella asked them for a date. That's fair. And so I said, I'd like to do that. And so I told them when they got up to my shoulder, I would take them out for a date. And as Dad took them out for a date, I couldn't expect a man that took them out later in life to treat them any better than I did. And they would know how to handle themselves as they learned how to watch Dad and whatever. And so I'd take them out for a date. Well, my daughter got right up there. She said, Dad, look at me. Dad. And I just went like that. Because I was busy. I was busy. I had a lot of things going. Busy. And so she ran around the other side. When we prayed for children, we prayed for someone that would have an IQ of at least 10. And she went right around. And she got on that side. And so I was over there. Now, I would present to you that God in heaven doesn't stand like that on any promise that He's made. He isn't like that. You know, my nature is, but God's not. You see? So when he made a promise, he promised forgiveness and everlasting life. Now the requirement, my response must be to believe. Now if I don't know what to believe, then I need to study the Bible to find out what I need to believe. In 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, Paul said, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Paul says there's what to believe. And so I need to believe that if I want this. Now I can know the verse and have it memorized, but if I do not take the response of believing, then I cannot claim the result. No way. Now I can be an alien before God, and God says, "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God," John 1:12. I see that I need to receive Christ, and if I receive Christ, I become a son of God. But because I memorize that verse, because I hear about it, because I'm raised in a family that believes that, that doesn't make me a son of God. I have the promise, and the Bible says that I must act upon that. And the Bible says that I must receive Christ as my Savior. That's what it says. Now, God says, when I do that, I become his son. I then am fulfilling the requirement of the promise. I then become a son of God in whom Jesus Christ dwells. Now, that is how to become a Christian. Claim a promise of God. Get one that's very clear and claim it. Now, that is by faith. That's faith in what God has said. That is what walking by faith is. Now, how many have heard of 2-7? 2-7. How many have heard of that? Do you know why that works? 2-7. Rooted and grounded and built up in him and established in the faith. That's what it says, isn't it? 2-6 says, "As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him." As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him. How did you receive him? By a feeling? Then you'll walk by feeling. Did you receive him in a moment of ecstasy? Then you'll walk in a moment of ecstasy. Did you receive him by claiming a promise of the Word of God? By a promise that God said this, and the requirement was this, and this was the result? If you receive him that way and you know it, then you have a hope of being rooted and grounded and built up in him and established in the faith. Because then you can claim a promise of the Word of God by fulfilling the requirement that God has and claim the promise and have the result. Now, in the 2-7 series, it's really strong on the personal testimony, isn't it? Because that is the faith in the Word of God that is strong so that later on I can take other promises. Let me put one up here. In my life, I may feel that I am dirty, I'm sinful as a Christian. God promises in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God says, if I confess my sin, he is faithful and just to forgive me. That's a promise. So what is the requirement? The requirement is, I must confess my sin. I must say the same thing about my sin that God does. I must hate it, turn from it. The Bible says, he that covers his sin won't prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes will have mercy. Now, God says, confess it. Now, when I confess my sin, see, then I have forgiveness and cleansing. But I need to confess it. And I can have 1 John 1:9 in my verse pack, going all over the place with it, but if I'm not confessing my sin, I'm not applying the verse, and I'm not getting the blessing of that promise. Now, we're saying God is able. And you know, sure, God is able. But will he for you? He's able. But will he? On what basis do you know that he's going to do something for you? Oh, he's a loving God. Sure he is. But what promise are you claiming that he says that he's going to do, and what requirements are you fulfilling so he is going to work on your behalf? It's kind of a Christian life. No way. Turn to Deuteronomy 6. Fantastic verse. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. That's enough to have us go through Psalms again. Psalms 119, 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Psalms 119, 97. Fantastic. Now, I wanted that in my life. I want it for my family. Now, this says in verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Fathers, here, have you sat down and written out a paper on how you're diligently teaching your children? Have you ever done that? Well, that's a challenge. Write up a paper on how you're diligently teaching your children. Get your comprehensions on that. Okay. And shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Boy, I took that as a project. So whenever I was up, down, sitting, riding, I wouldn't go any place in our car but what I'd gone over a verse. Somehow, some way, so it didn't come out preached, it came out naturally in our family. We wouldn't go any place in our car but what we at least covered 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 verses. Whenever we got in our car, we covered the Word of God. That's what that verse says to do. Get up in the morning, we're going to have the Word of God. Somehow, we're going to have the Word of God. At noon, somehow, we're going to have the Word of God. In the evening, somehow, we're going to have the Word of God. People thought I was mad. I said, you can't do that. And then someone else says, oh, the Lord's been so good to you. You have such wonderful daughters. It's just happened. You're one of the lucky ones. But that's what this says. Now, when you do what it says, you'll get the results of what it says. Isn't that great?
Rochelle sits there and smiles. She's watched the store in Australia for umpteen years. It's been a blessing, hasn't it? Oh, yeah. Oh, it's wonderful.
She knows because she's spent time with my daughters. Even lived with one of them for a while, I think. Okay. It's good.
Now, in this, we'll do one more of these, and then we must stop shortly because we've got a workshop to go to.
Okay, my condition, my promise, God's promise, result. I lead direction. People say, oh, I'd like to have direction in life. Wouldn't that be wonderful at this conference if you could get direction for life? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Oh, hey, that's a good deal. We could have a conference where I could get direction from God. Now, we had a verse, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding in all your ways. Acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. That's simple, isn't it? Just memorize that and you've got direction, right?
No. Memorize that and you know what God says about getting direction. See? We got the verse, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is God's promise. Direction is a result, but I need to acknowledge God in every way. I need to trust in Him with all my heart. How can I trust in Him with all my heart? The only way I can do that, you know, someone says, well, you trust God. I had a fellow, as I was teaching school, a fellow decided he was going to put me out of my misery. He was going to blow me up. I had a class, and one of the fellows, I had a class over here, and they'd leave this classroom, and they'd go over and go to the library. And they went over to the library, they would study, but the librarian couldn't quite handle the situation, so I handled it from here. And I said, if they were disobedient over there, they didn't leave here. So when I found out they were disobedient over there, then I had them kept here. Well, I told one fellow that, and he didn't like it, and so as I sat up there, I saw some shuffling in the back of the room, and I went back there, and one of the other fellows had stopped him, and he was lighting a bomb, and he was going to throw it up at my desk. And his dad was a dynamite-type guy. So he knew what he was doing. And I took that, and I pretended like I threw it in the wastewater basket and put it in my pocket, sat down, and he came up, and he said, Mr. Soderholm, he said, don't let him get that in the furnace. He said, it'll blow it up. Now, he was concerned about the furnace more than he was me. Because he was mad at me. He wasn't mad at the furnace. Well, I took that to the principal, and the principal says, was he in the act of using it? I said, yes. And he said, okay, and they expelled him 1 week. When I went to the teacher's lounge, the teacher said, Soderholm, if I were you, I'd leave. I'd go to another school. I'd get out of here. I wouldn't risk it. That man is going to get you. And as I found out he went after another teacher another year, and the teacher picked the bomb off the desk and threw it out the window before it went off. Now, here I am living for God. I have a wife and children, and I have responsibilities, and I'm trying to live. What do I do? And the teachers are saying, ha, 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 ha,
And we'd shared that with them many times. And they were watching. And the Lord gave me a verse. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Is that a promise? God say it? Yep. Okay? So I took that promise. Now what do you think I did? What? Pardon? Talk to the boy. Nope. I claimed the promise. Now how would I claim the promise? What? I memorized it and I meditated on it. You can be sure I did that. And then what else? Pardon? Pleased God by obeying Him. Okay. A little clearer than that? That's right. That's right. But what would I do? According to that verse, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. No, I became his friend, but not just by becoming his friend. What does the verse say for me to do? Yeah, that's right. When a man's ways please the Lord, that's the key. Not becoming his friend. God will take care of that. My problem was, my need was to make sure my ways were pleasing the Lord. I went home and checked to see what we had in the refrigerator. Do we have the right things in the refrigerator? I went home and checked to see if my relationship with my wife was right. I went home and checked to see if my children were okay. I want to know that I had the right amount of money in the bank. I'd given exactly what I needed to be given before God. I went home and checked to see if I was saying the right things to my neighbors. I went home and checked to see if my lawn was taken care of right. I went home to see if everything was done exactly right. Because I wanted my ways to be pleasing to God, and when that was met, He would make this man a friend of mine. That's what God said. And He did it. He did it. Isn't that wonderful? And I don't have time to tell the rest of the story now, but it was fantastic. Oh, we gotta go. But, oh, yeah. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, yeah. Now, that is claiming a promise. Now, friends, we don't have time to cover it like we ought. But that is what living by faith is. That is living by faith. Now that is almost too simple for you to grasp. But that is seeing what God says, seeing my condition, seeing what He says about that condition, seeing what the circumstances are around that, and fulfilling those, and then waiting on God and watching Him work. That is walking by faith. Now, as I memorize the Word of God and get my soul just filled with His Word, then as circumstance come, I have Word to work on to walk on by faith. And if I have a dry well, I have nothing to pump up to work on to walk in by faith. And I walk, I don't know what God to do in this situation. Oh, I don't know what to do. But if I load my heart with the Word of God, when I come with certain circumstances and situations, God can bring this Word to my mind and I can say, oh, hey, this is the condition for that. And that this is what I want to see God do. This is what God requires. And I can claim a promise of God for God to work on my behalf. And we get the results. Now, if you check out Hebrews 11, every one of those Hebrews 11 faith ones were claiming a promise of God. They were relying on what God said in order to be in that hall of fame of the faith chapter of God. And it wasn't just that they said, well, we trust God. God made a promise. God made a promise to Abraham. And if you read Genesis 12 on, Abraham claimed that promise. Whenever Abraham got in a tight spot, he was saying, Lord, you promised to bless. You promised to bless in every generation. And Abraham took that promise and he brought it before God. Time and again, just read it. Must have been 10, 12 times. Use the same promise. You won't wear it out. But that's faith. You see? Okay. The Word of God. We're going to thank the Lord and get to our workshops. Okay. Lord, we're grateful for Your Word. Oh, how I love Thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Lord, we'd like to have hearts like that, where we could meditate on Your Word day and night, to do what You say, apply in our hearts and be found Your children in love and obedience, to honor You and see You glorified. Thank You for these dear people that would be kind to listen. We trust Your Word that we would be encouraged to obey. In Jesus' name, amen.